keep dancing.
I got to stop dancing. What's up, guys? Welcome to Indie Invasion Podcast. And this is a new thing me and Mac are trying. We're calling these shorts, where we're going to try and do at least once a week, probably, and do these little short live streams where me and him get together, chat about whatever subjects, you know, maybe subjects that we come up with. Maybe there's something popped in of our head, or you guys, if you guys, you know, comment or send us an email or something, things you want to hear us ramble about. So today, one of our first shorts, as we're calling it, we're going to talk about terrain and some miniatures, of course. It wouldn't be Indie Invasion without miniatures, but
right.
Yeah, it's just one of those random subjects we want to talk about with this new streaming show that we're doing. And, well, how do we start with terrain, Matt?
Well,
you're the terrain guru, right?
How do you not start with terrain? I don't know about guru, but I do love me some terrain. But if you guys jump on, feel free to comment, say hi, and we'll wave back, you know.
Yep.
Have good fun times. But terrain, so every table needs terrain. And so I figured we would talk about some of our favorite stuff. You know, do we like scratch built stuff? Do we like 3D printed, MDF, whatever kind of stuff? I got some samples here off to the side that I pulled together.
Props?
I got props.
Props too.
I got my Bob Ross cup. That's going to be for the scratch built segment, is my Bob Ross cup. So, all kinds of cool terrain out there. People set tables up a different way. If any of you guys follow the Facebook page, you know I love a table filled and just packed to the gills with terrain. So everyone sets them up differently. I'm going to just start out with, so I'm ending with scratch built because that's like my jam. I want to start out with 3D printed stuff. So here's something I printed. This is from, let me see, EC3D Designs. Evan Carruthers, he makes some really cool stuff, and this is for my Deep Wars games. It's a dead whale carcass, like for an undersea witch. It's pretty cool. I painted that up, printed it up in a few different pieces, but that's one of the cool ones. So what do you, every table doesn't need terrain, a simple green tablecloth works. You, sir, are a heretic.
Who said that? Who said that? Sure. I don't have the comments.
Sure. You, sir, are a heretic. Oh, hey, there's Greg. Yeah, that one's a pretty cool one. You should check that out. He's got a whole undersea series of 3D stuff, and it's really good stuff. It's all supportless prints, and it's really cool. Wow, that turned into a quick commercial for that, right? It actually is, though, man. It's like $40 for his Kickstarters that he usually does. And you get a massive amount of really cool stuff. Half of it's miniatures, and I only have an FDM printer, so I don't really print the minis, but the terrain is totally worth it. I'll hold a piece of that up again, but it's really good quality, and I don't know what the heck I'm doing with a 3D printer. So,
you know, that's one of the things that I'm kind of thinking about with the 3D printer, is to do terrain stuff like that. And I think we actually first started off these short streams with our, you know, goals for the year, and one of my goals was terrain. And most of the terrain I get is either pre-bought stuff that's MDF and all that.
Yeah,
but for the longest time I was thinking a 3D printer to do stuff like that, that's a little more custom, I guess, a little more unique to, you know, whatever tables I put together.
Yeah, I really liked his, because he ended up, he's targeting the RPG crowd a lot. Mm-hmm. And it was, so all of his stuff is kind of geared towards that. But if you play any kind of narrative games and want to throw stuff on the table, he's got tons of stuff. He just recently, I think his last one was called Scorched Sands, and that one was all desert themed. And then he had the Wilds of Wintertide, which was I got that one to do Ragnarok by Tim Korkluski, to play that game, and it's all frozen tundra kind of thing, not like Lambeau Field frozen tundra, but different frozen tundra.
That's north of me, so that's even, right? That's even more colder
than you. But and I mean, he did a bunch of other ones. He's got some airships. He's got a bunch of really, really cool stuff. But you were talking about MDF. What's some MDF stuff that you like?
So, okay, so obviously, being a Wild West Exodus fan.
You like Wild West Exodus?
And yeah, I go figure. And of course, I still got stuff I haven't put together.
Oh no, for shame, sir.
I still got to do the old cat house. And I got, you know, just this classic building, which is great because you could use it in any kind of game, right? Know, it's just your basic house. And these are all the laser cut MDF. What's nice about War Cradle stuff is they're blue like this. Well, yeah, that's a primer. So they look great on the table like this, which sadly, most of mine are that.
Man, you're just letting all the cats out of the bag, aren't you?
Well, see, that's one of my goals. I want to paint a lot of these MDF buildings I have.
That's good. Well, and that's actually, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Another set that I really like. And I did this, this was last spring?
Is that another box?
This big old sucker?
Oh, that's the Carnivale Venetian block. Yeah. The
Venetian one. And for an example, here's one of them put together.
Well, if I'd have known you were going to show that, I could have grabbed a painted one.
You know, yeah. Okay, so it's not painted. And one of the things I want to do, going along with my painting these things, is I have an airbrush that Mary got me for, I think it was my birthday one year. I think it's going on more than a year ago.
Oh, no.
I still haven't broke it out.
You're just making all kinds of confessions.
Yeah. So these are a lot of goals, I guess, that I want to do with these, right, you know, is do this kind of stuff.
Well, that's a good segue. We got a question. So Kara said, for someone who hasn't ever even touched terrain elements, where do you suggest starting? That's a great segue because it depends on what you want to do. If you're looking to build from scratch, go to your recycle bin. But if you're not,
here we go. Don't open that door.
I'm not opening my recycle bin, but this is from Black Site Studios. Now, I absolutely love Black Site Studios stuff because it's pre-painted. Mm-hmm. And I set up so many tables, man, that I just a little while ago, I posted my 10-year-old decided he was going to count all my miniatures on display that I have over on my shelf behind me. And I took a picture of him. He wrote it down and it was 1,446 painted miniatures. I'm like, man, I ain't got time to paint terrain. So I got into Black Site Studios stuff, which is fantastic. Some of the pieces are a little tough to get together and I broke a few of the pieces, but it's pre-painted. So it's super, super easy. Or, let me lean my bald head off of here real quick. Or if there's a little slightly different flavor with these, and these are from Foreground. Now, they're out of the UK, but they always have really nice stuff. And these ones come apart. So you got multiple layers, working doors and stuff. So
I think I've looked at Foreground stuff for years. And with the games that I play, Wild West Exodus, they tend to be a little small for that game.
Yeah, that has a lot to do with the base size. Yeah, the Foreground pre-painted stuff, Michael, is I really like it. And the thing that I'll say about Foreground is, man, they have their tolerances down to the micrometer, because those things, they go together. Someone said that it was jigsaw puzzles, that they were jigsaw puzzles for nerds, which is very true. That is an accurate statement. I cannot dispute that. But the Medford equals MDF, gotcha. The Foreground ones, the tolerances are so tight that it just pushes together and stays that way. It's
See, that's one of the problems I've had with MDFs, like the blue MDF from War Cradle, and I've had other MDFs where, the joints, you know, the tab joints just are a little bit off, so you have to take a file or even a hobby knife and just kind of cut it so it's a little bit looser.
Yeah, and with Foreground, I've put together a lot of Foreground stuff, and it just all slides together perfectly. It's a non-issue. But on the flip, are we getting a little bit of echo?
No, I don't hear an echo. No?
Okay. The flip side of that is doing your own stuff. So that was what Kara had asked about. And if I'm saying your name wrong, just flog me.
That's right.
Flog me in the comments.
She's a local.
Okay. Oh, so I'm right. Okay, good.
Yeah.
But there's also really easy ways to go too. So this is something old and a cranky old gamer for you guys that are seeing him on here. That's Greg, and he's a big Deep Wars guy. I know him from the Deep Wars world. And like this, so this is just like a little coral reef I made for Deep Wars. Right. And all I did was go buy a bag of the lava rocks that you put in the bottom of your grill. And I hot glued them to a base, and then I painted them. I just dry brushed them. It was no big deal. And then I, was starting to get some of my friends. Yes. And aquarium decorations too. When Mac goes into PetSmart and they're having a sale on aquarium decorations, I look like I work at SeaWorld and I'm redecorating Shamu's swimming area.
You must have a lot of aquariums. No, I just got a lot of minis.
Yeah. I got some stuff to do, man. I got a game that's really important, requires a lot of, but then the other thing too, so two more things on the scratch building that I love to do. Actually, I got three more things. So let me show you. And two of these three things are Dollar Tree things.
You're reaching over there quite a bit.
Yeah, I got kind of a big table set up over here. I grabbed a few things. So this one was actually for Wild West Exodus. I brought this table to Adepticon. So this is actually a pretty old piece. And all this is now this one right here helps a lot if you have a friend that works at any convenience store or grocery store, because this corrugated card, like the Pepsi banners that you see at the grocery store on the front of the big display. My son worked at a gas station. My oldest son worked at a gas station a while ago, and he brought me a roll about this big of corrugated card and about this tall. And I finally got through it. And all this is made out of is corrugated cardboard and popsicle sticks and a little bit of painting. And that was great. It was a little rust town that I had. And oh, if anybody's interested, here's a built War Cradle MDF kit. This is what they look like when you put them together, Eric.
Mm-hmm. I mean, those are the newer ones that come kind of pre-painted, right?
Yeah, these are the ones from Mythos. So this is the Mythos set. But yeah, these are the pre-painted ones. But that's what they look like put together. And then my favorite. So I gave away a bunch of terrain. I always give away a bunch of terrain when my shelves fill up.
That's how you make room, yeah.
I got to make room. My wife has told me that I am not allowed to get rid of these. And this one actually... this one has a special place in my heart. Do you remember this building, Eric?
Yeah, I do. And if it's what I remember, I may cry.
So this is actually, Eric and I met on this table right here at Adepticon 16 or 17.
Yeah, I think it was about that.
16 or 17. Oh, yeah. Actually, Michael, you're right. Plastcraft does have some cool stuff. I have some of their stuff, and it really isn't too bad. It's pretty nice stuff. But this is just Dollar Tree foam core. Okay.
That's not the one I was thinking of, but still.
No, but this is the table you and I fought on, though, because this is the...
I was thinking it was the one made out of stat cards.
Oh, no. But I do have some of those. And then, actually, it's Dollar Tree foam core, popsicle sticks, and then I textured it with Dollar Tree drywall plaster. That's all that is. And then I just painted it up.
That plaster stuff is great for like you have on that stucco look. It's great for that.
Yeah. It's great stuff, man. It's great. And that's kind of, for me, that's kind of, that's my wheelhouse is the scratch built stuff. Mm-hmm. But I do have some, like, who's your favorite manufacturer so far? Cause you're new. Oh, I got another Dollar Tree one here too. It just keeps showing up on my
desk. Tell people what that's made out of.
Okay. This is from the Dollar Tree. And these are made out of the little cylindrical gift boxes. So that's, this over here is the lid to the gift box. And then it's just, I just cut it to shape and then started gluing a bunch of stuff onto it. Cause it's for a game that is called Twilight Chronicles of Anurol. We actually just posted a video on Patreon. It's free. You don't have to be a patron. You can go watch it, of an unboxing, but it's kind of the theme. It's sort of a dark crystal kind of theme. So
yeah, the yeah. Kind
of fits. And it was horrible. Well, it wasn't really a horrible experience. My wife and I went in Dollar Tree and I'm walking down the aisle and I walk past like 50 of these cylindrical cardboard tubes. And I'm like, and she keeps going and she comes back and the little cart is just overflowing with cylindrical cardboard tubes. But my wife is awesome. And she goes, "What you building?" Well, I said, "I don't know yet, but it's going to be something. I can tell."
That is one of your skills that you have, is that you can look at stuff in the hobby store, the craft store or dollar store, and see what it could be.
Yeah. It's dangerous though. Yeah. So dangerous. So what's your favorite style of terrain, Eric?
Well, what do you think?
Builder, but you still play on tables. What's your favorite?
I love Wild West buildings. And before War Cradle got a hold of Wild West Exodus, we had foreground, and there was very few
burn-in designs.
Burn-in designs had some. Yep, yep.
Micro Art Studios.
Yeah, they were the original. They created original buildings for the game. So, I style-wise, I think that's what I liked the most.
Okay.
But I started branching out. You know, started getting into more of the independent games, like.
Is that why you do the Indie Invasion podcast? I was wondering about the name.
But I started looking at, you know, it seems to be a lot of apocalypse games in the independent, you know, scene. So I started looking at stuff that I could use for Walking Dead or any other zombie, you know, skirmish miniatures game.
Right.
And that's real easy, because then you can take any modern landscape and you just...
Yeah.
Burn it, trash it, you know, that kind of thing, to make it look like it's in an apocalypse.
Yeah, absolutely. So
that would probably be my other theme I like, because it's close to what you're familiar with, but just a little off.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, Michael said, I'm guessing you started making terrain before terrain became something game manufacturers started making. That would be a fully accurate 100% statement. My first fantasy battles table had terrain made from empty cigarette boxes, because you had to start somewhere. I was a broke E3 in station out in California, and it worked, you know, and that was where I started. That was back in, I hesitate to say, first edition Warhammer Fantasy Battles, second edition Warhammer 40K days. So we'll just move past that point now.
Well, if we're talking favorite terrain, it's not one of my favorite terrain pieces. It's actually one of yours.
Uh-oh,
and ever since we met at Adepticon way back when, I always wanted one, and I finally got one from you.
My grass
the animal.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually got that idea from, I remember when Michael, I remember when White Dwarf had the terrain building articles too. I got that idea from a guy at Siege of Augusta. Now I can't remember his first name. I know his last name is Skibicki, and he makes them. And I was like, wow, man, that's awesome. And I picked his brain the whole time about it, about how do you do that? What do you do to make the mat? So I had to make one, because I just love it. It's so cool. What do I use in my amazing Drowned Earth tables? I think the question there, Greg, is what don't I use?
Yeah.
In Drowned Earth
tables. I've seen everything from toy cranes that converted and put, what you put, like the, not moss, but the
lichen
on it, and you kind of dirty them up. I've seen you use your throwaway.
Hey, the kid, there's a rule in the house. When the kids are ready to get rid of a toy, has to come through me first before it goes in the giveaway pile.
And then I even seen you, you know, tear to my eye, turn in AT-ATs to terrain for a drowned earth.
It's a good terrain piece, though. It's a good, I keep trying to get you to send me some more Star Wars stuff.
No, I'll add it to that. You're not getting any of my stuff.
Thanks for the comment there, Greg. I love my drowned earth tables. I love setting them up. They're so much fun. I will say there's one problem, and it bit me in the butt the other day. Sometimes you lose track of a mini on the board, and then you go to put the terrain piece away, and the mini falls off on the concrete floor in the basement. And of course, all the drowned earth minis are metal, so they go,
yeah,
which is a great segue to the last 10 minutes to talk about. What are we going to talk about next, Eric?
Well, what is your favorite material for minis? We haven't touched on minis yet.
No, let's talk minis. What's yours? You go first. I've been, what is it? Let's see. Where's that?
Well, we got everything from.
There you go. Hold on. This is why I'm going to put the names up real quick. So everyone, okay. this is why it's your turn, Eric. Mouth of the South shall be silent.
So, I mean, we're talking materials for minis. We got the classic metal. Okay. Yeah. And then we got the plastic, which I'm trying to think, the first time I saw a plastic was the late 90s with some, Games Workshop, I think, miniatures. And that's where I really liked working with those because they're easy to shave down or file.
The original Space Hulk had the little turtle Terminators with the little on flamer. I really got to stop talking about the games back in the beginning. It's kind of...
You're dating yourself?
I am a little bit.
But then we got resin, which I'm very partial to resin. But the thing with resin is there's so many different types, kind of the consistency of it, that you get your rubbery kind that both of us can't stand like that stuff. But then there's the kind that's it's the harder resin that it has a little bit of the flex if you're talking about like your swords and stuff like that, but it's not gonna break off on you.
Yeah. And there's like one more step in there too where you start getting into brittle resin.
Yeah.
Experience. And now let me say the resin is what it is, and most of the time the sculpts are great, but me, I love metal. I'm all day about metal. They're a pain in the butt to convert, to cut up. They're a pain in the butt if you got to pin them, but I love the feel of a metal model. I do like resin when you start getting into the significantly larger stuff. Just because the weight alone of the model, if you got it on, the pieces just, they fall off. I've got some large metal models that are pinned, with a pretty significant inch and a half pin, and I've had those fall off. So, yeah, but I love metal. I'm sort of enjoying some of the 3D printed stuff. We did some Hero Forge stuff recently, which was actually, I was a little surprised. I was a little surprised with it, to be honest, because I thought that they initially didn't look as good as I thought. And I'm going to tell you why, because one of the things we wanted to talk about was our favorite miniature manufacturers. And I kind of have this mental litmus test for models that I compare everybody's to. Here you go. Here's a Hero Forge. Can you get a focus on that one?
Yeah, let me do this. There's the first one we did.
Oh, yeah. Rooster. Rooster McCoy from Urban Manhunt. That was a special character that was created just for our convention, Coastal Con. And we still have some of those, and we'll hand out some more.
I hope the lighting's good on this. And then, of course, these are more recent ones that I did for the wife's D&D.
It's a turtle.
But yeah, they're nice, and once you get them painted up, it's just like wow.
Yeah, it's really surprising. It really is. But I kind of have a litmus test when I'm looking at models, and it's the Drowned Earth miniatures, Twisted miniatures, and the Deep Wars and Shadow Sea miniatures for kind of litmus test of what I think is a really high standard of metal model. And again, totally my opinion. It also is the fact that I love those games, but those models are just, they're like up here to me. So whenever I buy a new metal model, they're kind of what I compare it to, which going back to the Kickstarter that you just unboxed, Twilight, you know, they're amazing metal models too. There's just so much good stuff out there right now.
Mm-hmm.
You almost can't miss. And it just depends on what you're looking for, because like style, Corvus Belli makes some awesome models. I hate putting them together though. They have some really tiny fiddly bits, those in Malifaux. I feel like I just want to slam my head up against the wall when I'm trying to build a Malifaux model, because I'm like, why is this piece so small? And then of course there's the Enlightened from Wild West Exodus. It's like you open up the sprue and you go, why is his head in three different pieces?
Those are some of the best detailed plastic minis that, I mean,
they are.
Yeah, they were a lot of work to put together, but the end product, they're really nice.
Well, and War Cradle really upped the game. When they got Wild West Exodus, they really upped the game on the models. And although I don't play second edition Wild West Exodus, I may or may not still have a miniature obsession with War Cradle.
You use them. You're one of the guys that you see a lot of models in different games, and it's like, oh, I could use this in this game.
Yeah. Oh yeah, most definitely. And there's just, what's your favorite? Not necessarily style, but I know you love the War Cradle. But if you had to take away your favorite, which was War Cradle, right?
Okay.
And so if you had to take away your favorite, who's next?
Well, I'm very partial to models. Like when we talk about metal miniatures, that especially of late, I love the ones that are like one piece, or maybe you have to put one piece on it.
I know.
And I'm really going. And we got into Retro Ray Gun.
Yeah.
I think is one that I can jump out, and that's kind of that style. You know, it's got a certain style to it, and certain little medieval animals.
Oh, burrows and badgers.
Burrows and badgers. I mean,
sworn.
I mean, this is a resin one that they did, but it's all one piece.
Yep.
You put it on the base, prime it, you're ready to go. I love the time that you save stuff like that.
Really gorgeous models. And that's just a little, I was going to say it's a two-man operation, but it's a husband wife operation that they,
well, we can't forget these guys too.
Oh, this could be the longest short ever.
Yeah.
That's Ian at Street Wars, Funky Skull Games, great models. But again, that goes back to the whole style thing. So if you put say like a Street Wars model up next to a Wild West Exodus or Drowned Earth, you see a distinctive style difference. And you and I had talked about this before, and it's that pulp style of miniature.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it is about the pulp style of miniature. It's just very, very different. I think it's the simplicity of the models, because we're so used to a Space Marine with 732 skulls and five ribbons and all
and you know what? I could actually say that about Wild West Exodus.
Yeah.
I mean, how many straps and buckles can one cowboy have?
Right. It takes him 4 hours to get ready to go out to the gunfight. By the time he's there, it's like, oh, I was supposed to meet him at noon. Well, that's not going to happen. Neither one of us will be dressed by then. But that's where I was going next, is there's all this detail on these models. And then you get to a pulp model, and most of them are just supposed to be like Joe Schmuckatelli standing on the corner.
Yeah.
So you've got tennis shoes, jeans, a t-shirt, and maybe a ball cap. And you pick one of them up to paint, and you're like, I'm done. What just happened? So, yeah, they do. They really do. Greg said they got kind of an 80s, 90s throwback feel to them, like those old Grenadier and Ralph Partha models.
Oh, yeah.
They do. They kind of have that feeling, although the casting has improved a lot. But they do. They very much have that feeling. So, yeah, minis and terrain. Well, that was our.
Do you have a favorite mini?
That was not a fair question.
No, I know. I kind of threw you a bus there.
I just posted that I have 1,400 painted miniatures right over there.
Okay,
that is unfair. Unfair.
I can't say if I have one either. So
actually, right now I do have a model that I'm the most proud of painting, and it's actually a War Cradle model, and it is the crab from Mythos. So because I live in South Carolina and I live right on the coast, we have major blue crab or just regular blue crabs out here. I mean, you can buy them by the bushel all over the place. So that's what I painted it up as. And it came out really good. I used lots of glazes and washes and inks, and I just experimented a whole bunch. And I just really liked the way it came out. I'll throw a picture of it up on the Facebook page when we're done, cause I don't have it handy, but that's probably my favorite one right now, not based on the model, but based on the amount of time that I put into it and worked. And a lot of the times, that's what'll happen is I have a friend doing some painting for me because I have so much stuff to paint for conventions and demo games that I just kind of keep the ones that I look at and I go, oh yeah, that's going to be fun to paint. So that's the ones that I mostly keep now. And that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Yep. Well, shall we wrap it up?
I think we should. We promised we'd go 30 minutes. And
yeah, we wanted to kind of keep these shorts to about 30 minutes for you guys. It's just our short chats of me and Mac here rambling on like we do.
I would like to point one last thing out, though. If you look at our background up in the corner, this corner over here, over there, you point, it's above you.
Okay.
There's a little alien
right there
in shorts. Behind, in front of a D20. Eric did that up today, and that is our little mascot for our Indie Invasion shorts.
We have to come up with a name for him.
Yeah, we do. So, yes, there you go. So if you guys have a cool name for our Indie Invasion shorts guy as the alien, that would be awesome to throw that out there. But I thought it was really cool. We added a little something extra to the show. We're trying to always up our game. Don't forget that you can get us on Podbean, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Pandora, all of those other places. You can find whatever we're throwing out there. We put the shorts up there. We've got our audio stories for a bunch of different games, which incidentally, thanks Greg for that. It has been fun. If you know of any games that have cool fluff that you would like to hear an audio story, we don't make any money off of anything. So we're not doing anything proprietary here, stealing anything. We don't make,
we're just trying money. Bring the indie, these great indie games into the world that people know about.
Yeah. So if there's some stuff that you would like to hear, audio, some of the stories or anything, let us know. We'll look it up and, heck, we might even talk to the developer and see if they have more stuff to read. Yep. So there's a lot of new stuff that's going to be coming out. You can always get us on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Podbean. And yes, I did just read that off of the banner that Eric put up.
Look at us being all pro.
We also have Coastal Con is coming up. Coastal Con 2021 is coming up. It's going to be small because the whole COVID stuff is still going on. So it's going to probably kind of be more like a bunch of guys hanging out, playing games, and not really that much of a bunch, but that's what we're going to do so that we can raise a little money to get the ball rolling. And maybe in 4 or 5 years, we'll be a humongoso convention, and that'll be awesome.
Yep. Yep. So yeah, if you guys had any questions or ideas, feel free to send them our way, whether it's Facebook or the, email, or, if you're watching these, after we do them live, because these will be on the YouTube channel, feel free to comment right in the comments. Oh, yeah. They let us know when somebody comments on them.
Yep. And we try our best to keep an eye on that as best we can. But until we see you guys next time, which at the very latest will be Wednesday at 9:30 again, we're going to try our very best to be with you guys every Wednesday to talk about something. Again, shoot ideas at us. But until we see you again, remember to prepare yourself for the invasion.
Bye, guys.